단 티어.
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वैवस्वताय मृत्यवे ब्रह्म विद्याचार्याय नचिकेतसे च। वी ऑफर आवर प्रोस्ट्रेशंस टू यमराज हु इज द लॉर्ड ऑफ डेथ, बट हियर इज दी Knower of Brahma Vidya, the teacher, and to Nachiketa, who is an ideal student. So, in this Kathopanishad, so far we have seen that Yamaraj offers all kinds of temptations to Nachiketa, not to take him away from the path, but to test, because the teacher always wants to know, does the student have real vairagya? Does he have sort of backs? Does he have real desire to know this knowledge, or is he just doing it out of his some whim? So that's the same thing in also when he expressed to Bhagwan that I am your disciple and please teach me because I don't know what to do. Then Bhagwan starts teaching. And Nachiketa rejects everything that Yamaraj offers. And so then the teacher realizes that this is an ideal student. And he starts with talking about Preya and Shreya. We had talked about that last week. Preya is the path of pleasant, Shreya is the path of good. So Preya, when I do the path of pleasant, what I like, what I want, then what does it do? Leads to desires. Leads to ignorance, leads to bondage, and will not take us to Atma, will take us into the world, makes us extrovert. But if we choose the path of Shreya, which is the absolute good, not only good for me or for society, but the highest absolute good, then that path takes me to moksha, to liberation, because it is the path to Atma, not Anatma. And it is introvert, it is going within. And one who goes within, it becomes desireless. So for moksha, we have to have desirelessness, and introvert, spend some time every day going inward, connecting with the self. So that's what we do in meditation. But teachers also say it should be done 2 or 3 times in the day, maybe in the afternoon or evening before going to bed. Just spend 15, 20 minutes connecting with the self. And so seeing that, Yamaraj is teaching this to Nachiketa. And then the last shloka we saw was he talked about Vidya and Avidya. So Avidya is the same as Preya, the path of ignorance, the path of worldly pleasures. And Vidya is the path of knowledge, of the highest goal. So Vidya and Avidya is the same as Shreya and Preya. So today we'll see that Bhagwan Yamaraja will tell us more about what is Vidya and Avidya, and also tell us about the fit student and the fit teacher, even how the teacher's qualities are very well explained. And so this we'll study today, the difference between Vidya and Avidya and the teacher and the student. So that is again for us to live this life. So the idea is that if we are a student, these are the qualities we should have. So that is why so much time is spent on Nachiketa. Lata, you would like to repeat number five?
Is that chapter? Is that Valli 2 and page 70?
Valli
right?
2, number 5. Valli 2, number 5.
Got it.
Valli 1, number 2.
No,
chapter
no, no.
2.
Whatever, you know, it is Valli 2, chapter 1. It's Valli 2, anyway. It's number 5.
Dvitiya Valli, section 2.
Dvitiya Valli. Yeah, that's what I said. Dvitiya Valli, number 5. You found it?
I do.
Avidyayam antare vartamanaha.
Avidyayam antare vartamanaha.
Swayam dhirah panditam manyamanaha.
Swayam dhirah panditam manyamanaha.
Danramyamanah pariyanti mudaha.
Dandramyamana pariyanti muda.
Ande naiva niyamana yathandaha.
Ande naiva niyamana yathandaha.
And you will chant together. Avidyayam antare vartamanaha. Swayam dhira panditam manyamanaha. Dandram yamana pariyanti mudha. Ande naiva niyamana yathandaha. So here he's talking about avidya. Oh, avidya. So avidya yam. In avidya, living in antare means in the middle of avidya. Vartamanaha means they are living in the middle of avidya. That means they are enveloped, surrounded by avidya. Their mind is full of avidya. But what do? But swayam dhira. They think themselves to be dhira, to be the wise person and pandit. And some of them, you know, they have studied little bit, some book here and there, maybe one Upanishad or one or two texts. And they start calling themselves pandit and dhira, manyamana. And they think themselves to be that. Not only they think, but they also start teaching others because, oh, now I know. So a little bit of Sanskrit they know, maybe a few chanting. So they start teaching others. Not only so, they themselves think they are pandit and they teach others. And then Yamraj says, dandramyamana, and they live in very various crooked ways. Why do they start teaching? Because that is a way for them to make money. So they live in crooked ways. Pariyanti, and they go round and round. They have no goal, no purpose. They don't know what they are doing. Mudaha. Mudaha means fool. Earlier he had talked about mandaha, dull-witted. Now he's calling them mudaha, which is who has a PhD in foolishness. That's what Gurudev says. We'll talk about mudaha also. And this fourth line is very famous. A lot of acharyas quote it. And it says, andhe naiva niyamana yathandaha. Andhe eva. By the blind alone, niyamana yatha. Just as andaha. So a blind who is led by the blind. You know, and even in the, this was told several thousand years ago, then was repeated by Christ, where it says that if the blind leads the blind, they will all fall in the ditch. And even now in the modern vocabulary, it is a very common phrase. Oh, just like the blind leading the blind. So thousands of years ago, this line was quoted by Yamaraja, that it's like the blind leading the blind when they teach others. So it's a very famous saying. And this mudhaha is also said by Shankaracharya ji. Bhaj Govindam mudhamate. Oh, you fool. Chant the name of the Lord. Remember Lord. Remember at the time of death, all these worldly things, none of them will help you. So here also, what Yamaraj is saying, take the path of Shreya, because the path of Preya will not take you anywhere. And what do we mean by these people are mudha? Not that they are uneducated or they are foolish or they are, but they only have book knowledge, and with a limited book knowledge, they start thinking, I know everything. Swayam dhira panditam, I know everything. I don't need anyone to tell me anything. I have understood. I am a pandit. I am a scholar. And so they keep thinking that. And then when they work, they try to use this knowledge to cheat the system. As I said, with crooked ways, they try to get something from this knowledge, or how can I get out of this, or what can I do it? And their desires do not end. See, the goal of knowledge is to reduce and ultimately end desires. If I still have a lot of worldly desires, I cannot qualify. I am not qualified for moksha. So that is what they say, that their desires have not ended. And they may have studied, but unless there has been a transformation in their life, the study is useless. In the Chinmaya Ashram, you know, in Mumbai, in the Sandipani Sadhanalaya, where they do a 2-year course. So Guruji was teaching a course. There were approximately 60 students. And after the 2-year course was completed, you know, the students wear white when they are studying. And after 2 years, they are offered that if they want to take yellow, means direct go towards sannyas. They are not yet sannyasi like swamis, but they are called brahmacharis. So out of 60, 45 accepted that they want to stay with the ashram and they want to do. And other 15 said, you know, we want to go back to our families. So Guruji said, that's fine. There is no compulsion that you have to stay. Now, the 45, out of 45, 44 were given the yellow. One was not. So he said, oh, I'm ready to, you know, accept sannyas, go on the path. But Guruji said, I can see in these 2 years, you have studied the book knowledge, but there has not been a change in your thinking. There has not been an inner transformation. So it is not only how much you know, but how. That's why Gurudev says in another place, he says, your words will have no effect unless you live it. You can tell others, but if you are not living it, the knowledge will not help. So that is why they say, and what do they mean by ignorance? What they mean by ignorance is they don't have Shruti Praman. See, everything that a teacher says should be backed by the Shrutis, that it is there in the Upanishads, it is there in Bhagavad Gita. But they don't have that full knowledge, and with a limited knowledge, they start teaching. So such people, definitely the people who follow them, it's like a person is blind and he has a 50% chance of falling into the ditch. But if he is led by another blind, it is 100% chance he will be falling in the ditch. So same way, a person who is ignorant, if he is led by the ignorant, what will happen is that ignorant will be doubled. Ignorance will be doubled. And now this ignorant person will go around teaching others. You know, he has learned from somebody. So these people who teach that, and the so-called teachers, they go round and round, birth after birth. Their life never ends because they have not achieved the goal. And why? Because they still have the ego. I and my, that I am somebody. And so that is why they don't progress. And that's why Yamraj says, watch out for these people, because it's like the andhe mana niyamana yatha andaha. Andhe naiva niyamana yatha andaha. Hansa Ben, you would like to do that? The next?
Hansa J. Patel,
yes. Na samparaya pratibhati balam. No, tune nahi change karo, please. Mera mic bol. You have number 6?
Yeah.
Na samparaya pratibhati balam.
Na samparaya pratibhati balam.
Don't change the tune. From na samparaya pratibhati balam.
Na samparaya pratibhati balam.
Pramadyantam vitta mohena moodham.
Pramadyantam vitta mohena moodham.
Ayam loko nasti para iti mani.
अयम लोको नास्ति पर इति मानी
पुनः पुनर्वशमापद्यते मे
पुनः पुनः वर्ष पुनः पुनर्वशमापद्येते मे
या यू कैन म्यूट सांपराय प्रतिभाति बालम प्रमाद्यन्तं वित्तमोहेन मूढं अयं लोको नास्ति पर इति मानी पुनः पुनर्वशमापद्यते मे सो न सांपराय सांपराय हैज टू मीनिंग्स वन इज द गोल टू द अदर वर्ल्ड यू नो द दैट देयर इज अनदर वर्ल्ड दैट आइडिया And Samparaya also means the highest knowledge. So these people, to them, you know, Yamaraj calls them Bala, children. So why he calls them that, we'll discuss when we discuss the Shloka. And he says to these childlike people, this goal to the higher is not apparent to them. Pratibhati is not apparent to them. It's not understood by them. Why? Pramadyantam. They live in pramada. Anta means in. Anta also means the end. Anta also means within. So you have to look at the context. So pramadyantam, they live in ignorance and vitta mohena mudam. Vitta means wealth. Vitta moho, moha means the delusion of wealth. They live in that. That wealth alone is important. And if I have wealth, I am great. And they are again mudha. Again, he emphasizes they are foolish people, ignorant. And what do they say? I am lokaha. There is this world alone is there. Nasti para. There is no other world. You know, forget about this heaven, hell, and all these other worlds. Who has seen? You know, anybody has seen and come and told you? No. So there is nothing else. This world alone exists. Para iti mani, that's what they think. These ignorant people think that this world alone is real. There is no heaven, hell. Everything that you happens, it happens here itself. So there is no transmigration. There is no evolution. None of that. If whatever is in this world, that alone is. And such people, punah punah, again and again, Vasham apadyate me, they come under my control. That means again and again they die, go to Yamaraj, suffer their consequences of their actions, and then continue their journey. So he says, these people, all they do is come to me. Yamaraj means they suffer under my control. So as we said, these people, they do not believe in the other world. They do not believe in Atma, that there is something called consciousness. They said this BMI alone is, PFT, OET, those, you know, that's it. The world is, and my body, mind, intellect alone is real. They don't believe in Atma, the self. And they are materialists. You know, like the Charvak, what they say, that this life alone is, where did you come from? Nowhere. You are living here. Where will you go? Nowhere. How were you? What were you? What was the reason of your birth? Lust. My parents had lust, so I was born. And our life is to live in lust, enjoy. And then when you're over, you're end. That's it. So they don't have any goal of higher evolution. You know, yeah, cow pio, enjoy here. And they give a lot of importance to money, that if you have money, you are somebody. If you don't have money, you are nobody. And that alone is the criteria of success. In fact, even people, if somebody is rich, they praise him. Oh, you are so great. You are so wise. You are so smart. You are so intelligent. You do so much. Because everybody judges people by money. How much money they have, what kind of car they drive, what how. So that is called living in materialism. And Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the 16th chapter explains it very beautifully. He talks about these Asuri people. And they say, Adhyo bhi janavan asmi, konyo asti sadrisho maya. I am rich and I am of a high birth. He may be, you know, absolute, you know, criminal family and all that. And that's how the family got money. But suddenly now he says, I am rich. And Jana Abhijanavan Asmi, I am of the great family. Konyo Asti Sadrisho Maya. Kaha Anya Asti Sadrisho Maya. Who else is there like me? You know, that's how these people start thinking. And then another place Bhagwan says in the 16th chapter, Ishwaroham Aham Bhogi. Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. I am Ishwar, I am the Lord, because I have money, I have power, and I can enjoy whatever I want, and Siddha, and I have all the great qualities. As we said, he may be a crook, criminal, all that, you know, dishonest, but because he has wealth, he considers himself to have great qualities and Sukhi, and I am happy. Why? Because I have money. So these people, why do they become like that? Because they don't have the valid means of knowledge, you know, that the, through a teacher, the right knowledge, proper understanding, and they are very immature in their thinking. Talking about valid means, everybody has heard the story of the elephant and the five, you know, blind men. One touches the wall and touches the side and says it is a wall. Other one touches the leg, says elephant is like a pillar. Other one touches the trunk, it is a long, thick rope. The tail is a thin rope. And somebody touches the ear and he says it's like a fan, like a sieve. So not having, and none of them were right, because that is not what an elephant is. So same way, these people, because they don't have the correct knowledge from the guru, they misunderstand, they misinterpret. And for such people, artha and kama alone is what is. Artha is enjoy, eat. I mean, artha is earn. Kama is enjoy life. They don't believe in dharma, in right conduct. And definitely, they don't believe in moksha. And as we said, they live in pramada. Pramada has many meanings. One is they procrastinate. You know, somebody says, you know, you need to, you know, forget it, I'll do it later, or maybe they have no interest. Then they live in forgetfulness, you know, whatever teacher has told or somebody has told, they don't remember, and they live a life of ignorance. So that is these mudha. Now the seventh one is a very, very important shloka, which Bhagwan Sri Krishna has in two places in Bhagavad Gita, use this shloka, because the Bhagavad Gita, the maximum shlokas Bhagwan has taken is from Kathopanishad. Varshaben, you want to repeat number seven? Varli 2, number seven.
No, sorry, I don't have a book with me today.
Don't have the book. Hansa, Dr. Hansa, you have? You can unmute, please. You can unmute, we can't hear you. We can't hear, you can't unmute?
Yes, yes, now I can do it. Yeah, my phone was ringing, so I didn't want to do it. Okay,
number
go
seven,
ahead.
Palli tun. Shravanayapi bahubhiryo na labhyaha.
Shravanayapi bahubhiryo na labhyaha.
Shrunvantopi bahavo yamna vidyuhu.
Shrunvantopi bahavo yamna vidyuh.
Acharyo vakta kushalosya labdha.
Acharyo vakta kushalosya.
Acharyo
vakta
kushalosya labdha.
Kushalosya labdha.
Acharyo gnata kushalanushishtaha.
Acharyo gnata kushalanushishtaha.
Okay, you can mute, please. Shravanayapi bahubhiryo na labhyaha. Shrunvantopi bahavo yam na vidyuhu. Ascharyo vakta kushalosya labdha. Ascharyo gnata kushalanushishtaha. Very, very important shloka. We'll spend some time discussing this one today. So shravana yapi bahubhiryo na labhya. So even having listened, shravana api, there are many who do not get this knowledge. Bahubhi, by many, this knowledge is not obtained. Even having heard from a teacher, from a guru, many people don't get this knowledge. No, first is Shravanayapi. First one is many people don't have an opportunity to hear this from the
हाँ
guru. They don't take advantage,
नहीं
even
लगता
if it is offered to them, they do not take advantage. So they do not hear it, they do not listen it. You know, they say it's not for me. And it's like, you know, somebody friend will say, come on, there is an Upanishad no,
class.
forget it, you know, I'm not going to do it. And so for many people, this knowledge is not available. Either they don't have it available, or even if it is made available to them, they do not go for it. That is number one. Then the second type of people is Shranvanto api bahavo yamna vidyuhu. Even having heard, there are many who, even after having heard, they do not get it. You know, they
Very
go to the
simple.
superficial meaning, and we'll talk about why don't they get it. And Yamraj says, Ashcharya Vakta, it is a wonder to find a teacher, Kushalaha, a teacher who is qualified and who is adept in teaching this knowledge, Asya Labdha. To get such a teacher who can teach this knowledge of the Upanishads is it correctly, Kushala means correctly, is a wonder to find somebody who can teach. So
Guru.
that's why somebody like Pujya Gurudev, you know, it's so rare that so rarely there's somebody like that comes. You know, these masters who come are once in a generation, or you know, in hundreds of years we find some teacher like that. So one who is qualified and adept at teaching is Ashcharya. And then also he says, Ashcharya Jnata Kushala Anushishta. Kushala Anushishta, one who is taught by the right teacher, for him to get it, that is also a wonder. So that it is, so the knowledge is not available to many. Even if it's available, they don't get it. To find a teacher who can teach is very rare, and one who gets
Get
this after listening to a
one.
teacher is also very rare, is more rare, you know. So Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaya, siddhayamapi yatatanam kaschin man veti tatvatah. He says, there are among thousands of people, there's very rare who will seek this knowledge. And among thousands who seek this knowledge, those who get it is even more rare. So that is one. And then another one is, so what it means is that it is rare. So then we think, are out of thousands seeking, only few get it. Fe mera kya chance hai? You know,
It's a
what chance do
discouragement.
I have? So Gurudev says it very beautifully. He says, you know, listeners, you are here listening to me, listening to Kathopanishad. You are those rare ones who can get it. So he praises them, those who are interested in studying. Though, and think about it, you know, there are 500,000 people in Bakersfield. How many are studying Upanishad? How many know even that there is something called Upanishad? So the people who are seeking are rare, but we should feel encouraged that we are able to meet together and share and study this knowledge. It's not something to discourage. That's what Gurudev says. It's not to discourage. It is to encourage people that you are seekers of this truth. Then Bhagwan also says, Ashcharyavat pasyati kaschidenam, Ashcharyavat chainamanyashrunoti, Ashcharyavam vadati tathaiva chanya, shrunvanyapi na vedana kaschita. So he says, the one who understands is rare. Then among people who understand, there are very few people who teach it. You know, many people attain enlightenment, moksha, and they stay in their bliss. And they are blessing the world, but they don't have the scriptural knowledge to teach. So that's why, you know, in Mundaka Upanishad also, it is said that Shrotriya Brahma Nishtham, the person should have abidance in Brahman and at the same time know the scriptures to be able to teach. So those who know are rare. Out of those who know, very few teach. And then ones who can understand this after listening is Ashcharya, is wonder. And the biggest wonder is that even people who go to such a teacher, sit and learn, they still don't get it.
So that is
what, you know, it says that if we are sitting here and sincerely studying, you know, we are on the right path. And then somebody asked Gurudev, okay, if majority of the people are not going to get it, why are you teaching everybody? You know, you are putting posters, signs, and any Tom, Dick, and Harry comes. So Gurudev says, I don't worry, because Mother Shruti knows how to protect herself. If somebody is qualified, he will come back. One who is not won't come. He'll say, oh, it was boring. I didn't get it. I didn't understand anything. It was waste of time. So that is why this knowledge, Gurudev said, I'll give it to everybody, but I'll, you know, all over the world, I will print it in many languages. Upanishad can be printed, but only the chosen few who have sincere interest will get it. Now, another place commentary I was reading, how to divide people. So say 85% of people, and out of 100%, 85% are not at all interested. They only have artha and kama, wealth and joy, enjoyment. That's all their goal, 85%. Then there are about 10% out of 85. They say, you know, I should do some dharma. I have so much money. I should do some, so they will do some little charity, you know, maybe for their name or even to help, okay. And, you know, a little bit, they will do some right conduct and all that. So that is 10%. So 95% who either don't have the knowledge or they have the knowledge, but they only practice dharma. So artha, kama, and dharma. Moksha, they don't have. You know, they say, I don't need moksha. As long as I am a good person, I don't hurt anybody, that's all I need. Why do I need lectures? I have heard people say that, you know, you live a good life, you help others, you don't hurt. That's all you need. There's nothing more to be done. I mean, not that they are wrong, but that is not the ultimate. So now remaining 5% reggae. So out of 5%, there are about 2% who say that for moksha, what do you need to do? They say, just keep on doing good things and you will get enlightenment. You know, you just keep on, karma yoga alone is enough. You serve the world. Karma yoga is good, but that will purify the knowledge. Your mind will not take you to moksha. Or others say, you know, just sit quietly 10 minutes every day with your eyes closed and you will get it. Sit quietly, but what do you think? Meditation. You know, what is meditation? They think, oh, just sitting quietly, breathing, or doing some pranayama, or bhastri, you know, all this, you know, that all you need. You know, you don't need to know who am I, you know. Or other people say, you should raise your kundalini. You say, go to this master, and he knows how to raise your kundalini. And from the bottom, when the kundalini rises to the head, there you have achieved the highest. So all kind of wrong ideas people have of moksha. And there are teachers also who say, you know, come to me, I will raise your kundalini and you will get moksha. So that is the... Then, so that leaves 3%, okay, out of 97 is gone. So out of 3%, again, some people think, you don't need to go to a teacher. Just read a book, you know, pick up a book and read it. There are so many books on the internet, on the Google, you know, all kind of people. So that is, then other people say, just keep on asking, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And the answer will come. Answer will not come like that, you know, even though Raman Maharishi taught it. But he said, with the right understanding, the teacher has to tell you what is the meaning of I. Who am I? You know, they don't, they think I am this body, and who am I? That I have to. Or other people say, go to a Mahatma and he will touch your head and there you will get moksha. People come and say, or some Mahatma say, I will send you this powder in the mail. You drink it and that's all you need. You know, that's why Gurudev says that there is a powder jnanam, you know, powder knowledge, he describes it. That you will mail powders to everybody. And So all kind of, so there are very, very rare small amount of people who will go to a teacher and learn properly from a teacher with the scriptures, quotation of the scriptures. And what kind of teacher? So in the Kain Upanishad, it is said very beautifully, the master, after teaching the entire Upanishad, does not take any credit. He says, what I have taught you is what I got from my teacher, from my guru. So it has to be from a guru shishya parampara. It cannot be somebody like, okay, I have come up with my own theory of enlightenment. This knowledge is thousands of years old. So like in Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, his guru was Tapovan Maharaj. And then who studied from him? Swami Tejomayananda Ji, Swami Ishwarananda Ji. So they all come from that guru shishya parampara. So we should also study from somebody like that, not somebody who suddenly comes up with his own theories of, moksha. So that is very important. And why is this knowledge difficult? He says, even after hearing, many people don't get it. Now, why is that? So it is said that after hearing, we begin to objectify this knowledge, that Brahman is something that here and then there is this Brahman. So this Brahman or that Brahman. So we always think of Brahman as something else. And then they say, right now I am not experiencing it, but one day I will experience Brahman. So they say, what are you experiencing now? Brahman. Constantly, Brahman alone you are experiencing, because Brahman is everything. So to think that right now I don't experience Brahman, but sometime in the future I will experience Brahman is foolishness. Because Brahman we are experiencing all the time. Brahman is all the time, everywhere, in everything. So whatever I am experiencing now is Brahman. Why don't I know it? Because our attention is not on Brahman, is not inward. We are looking for God outside, somewhere, some other place. If I go to Uttarkashi, then I will experience, or if I go to Kailash, or for a Christian, if I go to Bethlehem, or for a Muslim, if I go to Makkah, Medina. So some other place, some other time, in some, temple where suddenly this. Not that one should not go to places of pilgrimage or temples and all, but ultimately you have to understand Brahman is here and now. So that has to be very clear that, and not only that Brahman is here and now, I am that Brahman. See, that understanding has to come. I again, not as this BMI, but I as the Om, as the Atman, the Self. That alone is Brahman, that alone is, and I am experiencing it right now. Right now, here is Brahman, and that has to become very clear. And for that, you need a qualified teacher, and a qualified teacher will make sure you get it. See, that is another thing. What is the glory of a teacher? If you go to him sincerely study, he will make sure you get this knowledge. Now, they say Brahman, when people go and ask you, you're going to study about Brahman? He says, yeah. So he says, can you tell us about Brahman? So does it have any guna? Does it have any qualities? No. Does it have any kriya, activity? No. Does it have any jati? Does it have any class? No, there's nothing like Brahman. Does it have any sambandha, anything connected to Brahman? No, there is no sambandha. There is no. Does it have a name at least? They say, no, Brahman actually doesn't have a name. No name can describe, but the Upanishads gave the name Brahman to it. Brahman means the big. But again, that name also doesn't describe Brahman. So he says, you are telling us something has no qualities, has no activity, doesn't do anything, does not have any jati, does not have any relationship, sambandha, doesn't even have a name. So you are wasting your time trying to learn about something that has none of these things. That's why they say that this knowledge is rare. And these people will tell us, why are you going to study? You are wasting your time. studying something which is formless, you know, which has no, which the mind and intellect cannot know. That's why we have studied, you know, that that the you know, shrotrasya shrotram manasob, that the eye, ear cannot hear it, the eyes cannot see it, the mind cannot know it, the all those things. So he says, you are wasting your time. But they say, no, you are not wasting your time. This knowledge will take you beyond mind and intellect. See, mind and intellect cannot know it, but this knowledge will take you beyond that. And we will talk about that in the next shloka, how this knowledge will take you beyond mind and intellect. So number eight, Sujata, you want to chant? You have it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number eight.
Mm-hmm.
You can unmute. You can unmute.
This is time.
Okay, Jayashree, you want to do number eight?
Yeah, I can do it.
Nanarena varena prokta esha.
Nanarena varena prokta esha.
Suvigneyo bahudha chintyamanaha.
Suvigneyo bahudha chintyamanaha.
Ananya prokte gatiratra nasti.
Ananya prokte gatiratra nasti.
Now this last line is very hard. Ani anhya tarkyamanu pramanat.
Ani anhya tarkyamanu pramanat.
Good, you can mute please. Na narena varena prokta esha suvigneyo bahudha chintyamanaha. Ananya prokte gatiratra nasti. Aniyanhya tarkyamanu pramanat.
Yatarkyam.
It cannot be. So it says the last line is aniyan. It is subtler than the subtlest. He, atarkyam. It is indeed cannot be studied by argument and anupramanat. And it is the subtler than the subtlest, and nothing subtler than that. Even Swami Ishwaranandaji this time, when he came, he talked about anoraniyam mahato mahiyam.
Yeah.
It is subtler than the subtlest and bigger than the biggest. We'll talk about that. And he says, na naren avarena. So a human, avara means who is unqualified. Prokta, when this is taught to you by a student who is unqualified, na esha suvigneya, it is not easy to be known. So it is very important to learn from the right teacher, otherwise this knowledge is not easy to know. Why? Because bahudha chintyamanaha, it is explained in many various ways. You know, different people have different ideas of what is Brahman, what is Atma, what is the goal of life? What is realization? Then somebody will say, do only karma, only bhakti, only, you know, yoga. So people have, and some people say none of these, you know, so all different theories are there, you know, like, you know, this, like Eckhart Tolle says, power of now, but how to stay in the now, you know, that again, one has to learn properly. What do you mean by staying in the now? So all those. So it is taught by many people in many ways. So whom should we go to? This is very, very important. Ananya prokte, one who does not see this as separate from him. So if a teacher can see that Brahman and I are one, ananya, there is no other. One who teaches in that way, gati atra nasti. Gati means there is no doubt. Gati means also there is no other goal, no other path. So the only path is to understand that Brahman and I are one. We are not separate. Without, except for that, there is no other path. Why? Aniyan, it is subtler, anupramanat. It is subtler than the subtlest And atarkyam, it cannot be explained by logic. So, as we said, it is subtler than the subtlest. Swamiji also explained to us that even the smallest atom, the subatomic particles, quarks, neutrinos, it is even subtler than that. Even that is sustained in this Atman. And it is bigger than the biggest, all the entire universe, trillions of miles, billions of galaxies, and all 200 billion galaxies. Each galaxy has 100 million stars. So that many trillions of stars, even the, it's beyond all that. That's why it says,
space,
na?
Space, beyond space.
The Shangulam, Tatyasthita, the Shangulam. The Shangulam means it is beyond that even. Gurudev in his commentary on Purush Suktam says, the Shangulam means that even you go to the extent of the universe, and dasha means five sense organs and five organs of action. So even beyond that, if you go, your sense organs and organs of action cannot reach it. Even if you go to the heavens, all the hells, all the upper and lower 14 worlds, none of them can reach that Brahman. Yeah, so that is subtler than the subtlest. And it can only be known by one who does not see anything different. So as we said, the unqualified teacher is one who does not have Shruti Pramanas. And people, why do they have doubt? Because they say, what is Atma? Some people say Asti and Nasti. You know, there are some, even in Buddhism, these people who are, Shunyavadi, who say the nihilist, that there is nothing called Atma. You know, there is nothing, no Atma, no self. Then some people say, what is the size of Atma? Is it small in an ant and a big in an elephant? What? And then somebody says, I'm gaining weight. Oh, my Atma is getting bigger because I'm gaining it. So all people have funny ideas about size of Atma, small, big, what it is. Then other people say, what is its nature of Atma? Is it sentient or insentient? Or is it both? You know, like in this body, is it say sentient or insentient? They say body is insentient, but energizing principle is sentient. So they say Atma is half sentient, half insentient. People have all these different ideas. Then activity, does Atma do anything or not? Is it doer or not? Is it non-doer? Is it enjoyer, non-enjoyer? All these questions. Or people ask, what is the relationship between Atma and Paramatma? Is Paramatma separate from Atma, or is it a dual, you know, that I am separate from God, or I am a part of God, or Atma and Paramatma are one? So ultimately, Ananya Prokte, that consciousness is one alone, and that is my true nature. That is very important. And so, as we said, the logic cannot take you. You have to go beyond mind and intellect. And the gati ratra nasti. So there are four things that a guru, qualifications that a guru and student should have. Guru should know that I am Brahman. He should convince the student that he is also Brahman. And once the student gets this gati, the third meaning of gati is that then there is no transmigration, sansara, for this individual. And there is no doubt. So that is the final truth. And why mind and intellect cannot know it? The telescope example we have all heard, that the telescope can show you the whole universe, but cannot show the eye behind the telescope. The one who is seeing the telescope cannot see it. So same way, mind and intellect can know the whole world, but cannot know the consciousness that is behind the world. That is the subject. And so we'll end here. So the idea is that this knowledge is subtle, and only way you can get it is turn your mind inward and approach a right teacher, and with humility and prostration.
Mind cannot be known by tarka.
Yeah, cannot be known by logic.
Before it and without, you know, like we do discussions, that cannot be known like that.
Right.
You know, like they do debates. It cannot be known.
Cannot be known. That's true. Yeah, so debates or arguments cannot, it has to be the flow of water has to be from upper to a lower level. So knowledge has to come from a upper to a lower. So then only this knowledge can be obtained. Any questions, any comments? We have about 10 minutes. Yeah, Carrie, go ahead.
Well, you know, I really, the first time I heard this concept of Shreya and Breya, it was through a Chinmaya book. And I really liked it, you know, the good and the pleasant. But one thing I've thought a lot about it is that Breya, it's not just that there is, that it's one Breya path. No, no, it's like, there's the preya where you have someone who is obsessed and who is evil and who is, it doesn't matter who they're hurting, you know, how they're destroying the world. They're just after money and pleasure and sensation. And then there's other people who it's like they're following Dharma and they're trying to be better. They're trying to learn. They're trying to follow Viveka, Viragya, Shama, Dhamma, Titeksha, and you know they have an idea that there's something more, and maybe they're not Hindus, maybe they're Christians, maybe they're even atheists, you know. But they sense that there's more, and so they follow this path, but they're following it, trying to get to the second path, the Shreya, and. But that's really hard because, you know, even if you have a really good teacher who is enlightened, you know, there's so many ways to present right. Brahman, to present the Atman. It's not that easy. You can't just say, oh, it has no name. It has no anything. You just take this inward path and you reach it. Because no, you know, it's, you have to have a gifted teacher. And then it's like I think about parents trying to teach this, you know. I don't think, I mean, there is Nachiketas that goes, the path goes, you know, straight to the Shreya. But I think most children, the parents start with Preya and you know,
right.
Trying to teach Dharma, just doing good, but still, you know, make sure and study, make sure and save your money. And
right.
Anyway, that's just, I guess, a comment.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good comment. That's why we talked about the 85% who have no idea. Then 10% are those ones who are seeking it. But again, they don't have the right knowledge. And then again, going inward is not just go inward. You have to go inward with the right guidance from the right teacher. What am I looking inward and how am I looking? That's why studying these Upanishads and these texts are very useful because they teach us how to go on the path. Jayashree, you have comment?
Yeah, I just, you know, wanted to mention that in Vivek Chudamani, like when he gives the qualities of the guru, he says it needs to be Shrotriya and Brahmanishta. So I think that's very important that, yeah, he needs to have realized the Brahman, and also he has to be well-versed in scriptures because that's how he can explain, like Kerry was saying, depending on the level of the student, he can explain because he is well-versed in the scriptures, I think. So that's why these two qualities are very important in the guru.
Right.
He has to be Shrotriya and Brahmanishta.
Yeah. Thank you. That's true. And Guru Shishya Parampara, and he should have studied from his guru, not come up with his own theory of, you know, modern theory of realization. So in fact, a lot of these modern so-called gurus and scholars, if you look at their teachings, they are all based on Upanishads. Even though they have given different name, you know, modern this or seven ways or five ways or this and that, ultimately the teaching is based on Upanishads, based on Shruti, based on scripture. So that is very important. Moini Aunty, you have a question or comment?
I'm just saying that qualification of students are also very important. We are talking of the qualification of the teacher, but the qualification of the students are also very important. If student is not right, how qualified guru is, student will not receive the same way as guru is explaining.
So true. Thank you. Yeah, that's why they say, na, Vivek, Vairagya, Shat Sampati, Mumukshutvam. So student needs to have all those qualities. And if he doesn't have, then he should develop those qualities with the teacher. So that is why. So that is the qualities of the student. And of course, the student has to have. That's what we saw. Nachiketa had all those. Vivek, Vairagya, Shama, Dama, Uparati, Titiksha, everything, Mumukshutvam. He had all those. That's why only Yamaraj taught him. He first tested him. So without a qualification, if a student goes, he won't get it. That's what Gurudev says. That I will teach to everybody, but if there is a student who doesn't have these qualifications, the Shruti will protect herself. He won't get it. Thank you for bringing that up, Auntie. Hansa, you have any comment?
I just want to say the modern teachers, which you say Western teachers especially, they are coming from the Upanishads and Indian scriptures, but they only pick up one part of it.
Yes.
And it is usually to give a better life in living. It doesn't take you for self-realization, which is the highest goal of the scriptures. So I think that stops it there. So if you really want to reach for self-realization, you have to go into these books and these teachers who have read these books. But most of the modern Western teachers, even some in India actually, they would probably pick up one part of the Upanishadic knowledge and make it so prominent, which does help in a regular life of living.
Mm.
You're more peaceful, you achieve more, you do more things, but it doesn't make you think of self-realization. That's what I wanted to say.
No, very good point. Thank you. Yeah, because again, the student, the teacher who is teaching, we have to see what is the extent of his knowledge, because absolutely right, because they focus on one thing and say that alone, like, you know, only breathe, you know, only do breathing, and breathing will take you, and it won't take you, you know, breathing alone, that is required, that is part of it. So all the paths, and also they say it is sequentially, I was reading somewhere, that for a person whose intellect is very gross, he starts with karma yoga. And then do some upasana, do some bhakti to purify your mind, to make it. And then the knowledge will stick. And then meditation. So people just sit down and say, I want to meditate, but they don't want to develop any of those qualities. So the teacher has to explain correctly. Yeah, go ahead, Hansa.
Yeah. So even a student have to choose the teacher depending upon what you want out of your life.
Yes.
If you want to self-realization, then you have to have certain kind of teacher who has realized himself and who can guide you. But most of the others will make you live a comfortable life. Like Power of Now, it's very nice to live a good life and, you know, be more productive or more peaceful or more successful. But it doesn't take you to self, the thing that we are looking. So students should know what they're looking out of this this life. So that way they can choose their teacher if they want.
So true. Thank you. Yeah, that's true. And we are blessed that we have our parampara, Guru Shishya Parampara. As I said, Tapovan Maharaj, Gurudev, Swami Tejo Mayananda Ji, Swami Ishwarananda Ji. So we see this Guru Shishya Parampara. And each one of them is so qualified to teach. And we are really blessed to have studied under them and get these books and all the talks and materials. So, you know, when I prepare, I not only read Gurudev's book, but commentary by other acharyas of Chinmaya Mission. So that this, I'm just combining, you know, whatever I accumulate from 2-3 sources. So, but we are blessed to have this. So, yeah, we should, each one of us should read this Kathopanishad book independently and thoroughly. And if things are not clear, then, you know, you can listen to the talks that they are on firstpower.info. I know some of you are listening, but if you want to listen to them again, because I try to get knowledge from 2-3 teachers of Chinmaya Mission, these commentaries. So we'll end here. Anything else? So we can end here. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om.